Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Age of Radio.
Hello there, folks, and thank you for listening to the show.
I'm Joanna.
I'm Nate, and this is Stranger Than. Well, and just to kind of give you guys another sample of what our Patreon episodes are like, we're going to release another Patreon episode. This one is about Carl Tanzler.
I decided to do the Carl Tanzler one because I feel like I reference Carl Tanzler a lot. And when you listen to the following episode, you'll know why. Because he's a pretty, I wouldn't say special individual, but Jesus fucking Christ. Like, you know.
He's especially shitty.
Yeah, he's especially shitty. And thank goodness there's not a lot of people like him on the planet. So, yeah. Just thought we'd put that one out there. So every time I do a little Carl Tanzler reference, now you'll know what the fuck I'm talking about.
The wonderful human being she's referencing.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, here we are, and enjoy.
Hello, Joanna.
Hello, Nate.
Hello, patrons.
Thank you so much for your support.
We love you.
We do.
And so,
here's another bonus episode.
That's right. This one is about a very, very loving fella.
Oh my God.
His name was Carl Tanzler.
He had a few names, but I think that was his actual name.
Yeah, that was his real name.
His real name. He had a few aliases here and there.
He was born in Dresden, Germany, February 8th, 1877. The time of his birth was during the time of the German Empire, also known as the Second Reich. The land the German Empire made up reached from Netherlands in the west, Denmark in the north, and bordered on the south by France, Czech Republic, and Poland. These are all today's countries because they were all different back then. This is the German Empire that participated in World War I. He was a smart kid and had a pretty standard childhood for the time, with the exception of a ghostly visit.
Yes, was he was about 12?
About 12, he was visited by the ghost of a long-dead ancestor, the Countess Anna Constantia von Kossel, who died in 1765.
And he also, that's one of the names he went by, was von Kossel.
Yes, or von Kossel.
Von Kossel.
Something like that.
Yeah, von Kossel sounds...
That's probably right.
More right, yeah.
She showed him the face of a dark-haired girl that he believed to be his one true love.
My endless love.
That was beautiful, Joanna.
Well, his love for her was endless.
It was endless.
Once he actually meets her.
During the 1910s, Tanzler was living in Australia. He traveled with a relative frequency and did a variety of jobs. India and Italy were a couple other places he liked to frequent. That sounds fairly nice.
Mm-hmm.
Stop by India, get some food, go to Italy.
Get some really good food. Get some more food. Yeah.
Go to Australia.
Hopefully don't get...
Work it off from running from all the wildlife.
Yeah. Hopefully don't get eaten by something. Same for India.
Exactly. It seems that his reason for being in Australia isn't clear. Some sources say that he was studying weather patterns, or it could have been that's just where life took him. Regardless, this is where he was when World War I broke out, and as a German citizen, he was detained by the government and tossed into an internment camp.
Hmm, that does not sound pleasant. Although, I mean, it's not like death camp.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't...
Sucks all the same.
Yeah, imagine. It wasn't... It's not where you wanted to be, but Mm-mm. It wasn't like fucking Auschwitz or anything like that. After the war, he was sent to the Netherlands instead of back home. The reason for this is that the international law of the time directed that prisoners of war could not be sent back to their home country.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Archaic.
Yeah.
Apparently, he did make his way back to Germany eventually, where he lived with his mother until around 1920 when he married. He and his wife, Doris Schaefer, had two daughters, Aisha and Clarista. Aisha was born in 1922. Clarista was born 2 years after that. He still enjoyed traveling, so their marriage wasn't really the best. Also, Clarista died of diphtheria in 1934.
Yeah, so she was like just like 10 years old.
Yes.
That's sad.
Yes. Diphtheria is a bacterium that is now vaccinated for and kills about 50% of those it infects without treatment. Even with treatment, about 10% of patients die. That's today.
Oh, yeah. No, that's diphtheria crazy. Is terrible. Like you develop like these really like plaquey lesions, like kind of like when you have strep, except that it's like solid and doesn't like come off.
Yeah, it makes like a membrane.
Yeah, and it's like super, and it can get super big and just totally obstruct like
your
breathing. Yeah. And yeah,
it's a membrane that attaches to your throat, your mouth, and your nose, and so it can mm-hmm. choke you.
Yeah,
it can also attack the heart, which is more rare, but it'll cause heart failure if it does that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get like extremely high fever, and then
it's no good.
It's awful.
No good at all.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that most of us get vaccinated against it.
Yes. In 1926, Tansler took a ship from Netherlands to Havana, Cuba, and then on to Zephyr Hills, Florida, where his sister was already living. Zephyr Hills is on the west coast of Florida, up towards Alabama, but still firmly on the shaft of Florida.
The shaft?
Yeah, the shaft.
Oh, wow.
Because Florida is a dick. Wasn't,
yeah, I mean, it's phallic enough without...
Oh, it's totally a dick. And so, then, I mean, this is like the underside of the dick, right kind of next to the balls.
Okay.
That's where it is on Florida.
That's great. Thank you for that description.
You're welcome. He was joined some short time later by his wife and children. The family being reunited did not last long, as Tansler took a job in Key West. Both places are still in Florida, but they are 7 hours apart. And yeah. That's today, 7 hours apart.
Key West is way at the bottom south, like across these channels and stuff.
And I don't know, you may have had to take a boat to get to him back then.
You might have. I mean, they have a bridge now, but who knows if that was around back then.
I don't think it was. I want to say that bridge was built in the 70s, but I'm not 100%. And I don't even know why I think it was built in the 70s. But it certainly was not around in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Or 30s. The job he took was as a radiology technician at a United States Marine hospital. Here he went by the name Carl von Kossel. Apparently, this was a position he was qualified for. He wasn't very popular at work. He was kind of an egotistical jerk.
Yeah, I can see that. That's just like written all over his face.
But he was decent at his job, so he was kept on. He wasn't even like awesome. I think it read specifically as he was competent.
But thought he was awesome.
He thought he was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And would often like exaggerate his awesomeness to people.
Yes. April 22nd, 1930, a woman named Aurora de Hoyos brought her daughter, Elena, to the Marine Hospital to find out what was wrong with her.
She had TB. That's what's wrong with her.
Yeah, yeah. Elena had been born in 1909 in Key West, and she was gorgeous. She was Cuban-American and was married to a man named Luis when she was 16 in 1925. She became pregnant with Luis's child, but sadly miscarried. He took off to Miami, which was 163 miles or 262 kilometers away, abandoning his wife.
Nice.
So I don't know what the deal was. He could have just been devastated and disappeared.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, marriages fail for all kinds of reasons.
Especially when the wife is 16 years old. I don't know how old he was, but she was 16. Carl happened to see her that day, the day that she was in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and became convinced that this was the woman from the vision all those years ago.
Finally. Because, I mean, he's like 50-something.
53.
Oh, my God. And she's 21.
Almost. A few months away. Unfortunately for the De Hoyos, Elena was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And in those days, TB was a death sentence.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was just going to kill you eventually. And there was, like, nothing anybody could do about it.
Tuberculosis is a bacterium that usually attacks a person's lungs, but can attack anything. It causes fatigue, weight loss, and eventual death.
And you cough up blood. And it's...
Yeah, you're racked with a cough.
Uh-huh.
Usually has blood in it. Treatments of the time were varied, and generally speaking, not very fun and wholly ineffective. Things like deflating one lung.
Mm-hmm. God.
Allowing it to rest, and then inflating it, and then deflating the other one.
Yeah, and this is like 19 fucking 20s and 30s. Like, what are they doing? Like, just sticking like a giant needle in your fucking chest and like...
Fucking probably.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
And just a variety of just awful things. And they were trying to help.
Right.
They didn't know what the fuck was going on with TB. And it was killing... It had been killing people for years.
Mm-hmm.
Tansler needed to save this woman. This woman was his density. His density.
I am your density.
This woman was his destiny. Somehow, he managed to talk his bosses into letting him conduct the treatment. He was not a medical doctor.
Right, but he's just like, no, I'm convinced that I can...
And they let him. They're just like, sure. He'd visit their home and shower Elena with gifts.
And oh, yeah.
Strange homemade treatments of his own invention.
He brought, like, the x-ray machine to the house.
this expensive-ass x-ray machine he installed at their house he wasn't allowed to take it, he just did. He'd give her these weird herbs, elixirs, tonics, just whatever. He'd also tell her how much he loved her. And there was not
that poor
really...
poor girl, she was probably just so uncomfortable, but at the same time, she's like, I don't want to die, so...
Yes, and...
It's like she was, like, forced to probably have to, like, just be, like, polite to him, even though he was just, like, creepy beyond belief.
He's in his 50s, she's in his 20s, he's just like, oh, I love you so much, you're so beautiful, here's all this shit, take these tonics, I'm helping you out so much. It's weird.
It is weird.
It's super weird. Maybe it wasn't as weird at the time. Perhaps it was very common for young girls to get pawned off on older men like that. Even
well,
still, I mean...
Maybe, but still, it's just...
I still gross. Think it would be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like it at all.
And especially when it's like one of these like older, egotistical guys who just think they're like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, why would you be grossed out by me? Like, I'm totally... so great.
Yep. And there's no evidence
you want
that
this. Here's all these things and gifts, and it's just like, ugh.
And there is no evidence that she ever acted romantically towards him at all.
No. That's because she didn't, because it probably made her flesh crawl the thought of it.
Right, even more. Yeah, it was already kind of waxy and sweaty, so.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Despite all the quote-unquote medical treatments, his professions of love and the gifts, Elena died October 25th, 1931.
So just like a year later.
Just about a year later, yeah.
She was dead at 22. Tragic. That's fucking tragic enough.
It is. And it happened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to everybody. It did not care. You could be rich. You could be poor. It didn't matter.
It was just blind luck. I think a lot of her family died of TB, too. They worked in a cigar factory. That's what her father did. He owned a cigar factory. And it's like people in like those close quarters, like rolling cigars. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Probably she ended up getting it from the workers and then her family and then her and
whoever else,
because that's just kind of how TB works.
The heartbroken Tansler paid for her funeral. He had her embalmed and talked the family into allowing him to have a mausoleum built for her to be interred in, of which, unbeknownst to the family, he had the only key.
The only key, and he started going there every single night. He used that key. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Every night for 2 years, he'd visit her.
Talk to her.
Serenade her. Sing her Spanish songs.
Bring her flowers and gifts.
And she'd often ask him to take her out of her grave.
Yes, I'm sure that's exactly how that went down.
Well, in April of 1933, he did just that. He'd lost his job at the hospital for unconfirmed reasons. It could have been that he was acting erratically and got fired. Maybe he was missing work. Who knows?
Probably. I'm sure, you know, a little of everything. Maybe. Erratic behavior, stealing equipment, freaking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did last 2 years after her death, so maybe he was just still doing weirdo shit. Maybe they just thought he was fucking creepy because he was visiting this mausoleum every fucking night.
Yeah, I mean, people around town notice this.
Yes.
I mean, Key West is not, it's not a big place.
No. And what we do know about this is that the evening in April where he went to the mausoleum after getting fired, he brought a kid's wagon.
A fucking, like a radio flyer red wagon. Like,
tossed her corpse in it and just, you know,
went home. Just like, fuck it.
Cue the song Happy Together by the Turtles. Imagine me and you, and you and me.
I don't want to think about that song talking about this story because it's just sick beyond words.
Well, Carl Tansler spent the next 7 years desecrating the corpse of this young woman.
It is so gross.
He only got caught because Elena's sister Florinda heard some rumors that he was fucking the corpse of her sister.
Well, yeah, people became pretty suspicious when he's, number one, he stopped going to the mausoleum every fucking night.
Yep.
And then he's coming home and he's bringing, like, tons of like perfume and all this stuff and dresses, and he's bringing that back, but nobody ever comes out. His shadow is seen dancing with like a woman,
a giant doll,
and organ music. He was playing fucking organ music too.
Yes,
like as if it just couldn't get psycho enough. You just had to add that layer to it. Like
fucking madness,
total
Jesus.
Fucking madness. Yeah. So yeah, I think people were probably ended up putting two and two together. I mean, 7 years this went on, I believe, before the sister.
They're not great at math, no. Yeah. Well, eventually, I mean, and everything pretty much falls apart as soon as, I mean, not the corpse, but like his, just everything falls apart as soon as the sister comes over. The authorities get involved and they find the corpse.
Yeah, well, she demanded to go to the mausoleum and see her sister's body, and he was just like, you don't have to do that. She's right here, and leads her upstairs to the bedroom where she sees it. I would be scared as fuck if I were her.
Seriously, like going is this up guy that gonna fucking kill me?
Yeah, like, oh my God.
This was in October of 1940.
So yeah, the police, she contacts the police, demands that they do an autopsy because what she saw was like...
horrendous.
Just grotesque beyond words.
He's got the body still held together. using like coat hangers or some kind of wire to keep the skeleton.
Piano wire.
Piano wire.
And to keep her skeleton together and movable.
Her eyes were replaced with glass beads.
Mm-hmm. They're like real, like kind of like human glass eyes, but yeah.
Her skin would decay, and as that would happen, he would replace it with waxed silk.
Yep. Like paper mache.
He had some hair of Elena's that had been collected by her mother, who had given it to him shortly after the funeral for some reason.
Yeah, like I read that too, but I also read a version where it had just like, as it had fallen off, he had a wig made of her.
Regardless, he used her hair and made a wig.
It was her actual hair and a wig. I saw the autopsy photos. Did you
see?
Oh, dude.
I saw just the one of the face.
Yeah, where it's like rolled up.
No. Just no.
Just what her face looked like before.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like when they did the autopsy, they like totally like cut her chest cavity open.
Looked like the Y-shaped thing, like they do.
Yeah, and then like her face had been like kind of cut below the chin, and they kind of rolled it up to show that it was. You could just see her like. Actual like skull, like jawbone, but it was just like it was like paper on top of it, just like rolled up and like a mask, and here is like skull and teeth underneath, and then that wig, it was like circular on the back of her head where like it was just skull, there was like no skin there because he had the wig over there and he hadn't patched over it like the rest of her fucking body, and just the image of it, I mean, it's just sick. It's sick beyond words.
That's crazy. He stuffed her chest and torso with rags to keep her shape.
Yeah, her boob shape too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's how he got, and he'd put her dresses on her and gloves, kept her face with makeup. He adorned her with jewelry. And
yeah, and
she
then
he left her in his bed.
Yeah.
He slept with her.
Don't forget about the fucking tube.
Oh, don't worry. They did find a paper tube that he had installed in her vagina so he could have sex with her.
Yeah.
Though he never admitted to this, there was evidence of necrophilia. Authorities also discovered a homemade plane. Apparently, he had a plan to fly himself and Elena to the stratosphere, which would somehow rejuvenate her, something to do with radiation from outer space.
Hmm.
Whatever his theory, the goal was her being returned to life.
Yeah, not... Last time I checked, radiation doesn't do that.
No, but crazy German scientist...
Living with a human corpse sex doll for 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Because of how strange this whole scenario was, a psychiatric evaluation was done, which determined that he was competent to stand trial. Competent to stand trial.
Like you're a sick freak, but you still know what day it is, so.
He was accused of the crime, wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. The case was soon dropped, however, as the statute of limitations for the crime he was accused of had expired. The statute of limitations is the amount of time allowed to prosecute someone for a crime after the crime is committed. In the court of public opinion, it seems, he was not judged very harshly at all.
Well, that's because they didn't know the full extent of everything.
He was viewed as more of a romantic, like a weirdo, but a hopeless romantic,
mm-hmm.
and not a corpse-fucking freak.
Yeah, because the autopsy report wasn't released until like the 70s, where it's like gets in full detail all the stuff that he did to her body so that he could... Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. After the trial, a local funeral parlor, Dean Lopez Funeral Home, had possession of Elena.
Yeah, I think the autopsy was done there too. You know, not a big place. So they took her to the funeral home, and that's, I think, where the pathologist would go to do his thing because he didn't have his own office.
Well, they put her on display here and charged people $1 to see her.
It's
$18 today, and it's estimated that around 6,800 people came to see her.
That is just the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you do that? Like, oh, wow, like, look at what this guy did to this poor girl, who I'm sure did not share his great love
right
in life, and then in death he just, like, does this to her dead body, and it's like, oh, let's put that on display. Let's put her on display because she hasn't been like victimized enough.
Well, her family, after that, got her and finally put her to rest in an unmarked grave in Key West Cemetery.
Right.
So that people wouldn't fuck with it. So she could finally just fucking be dead.
Especially fucking Carl Tanzler, who fucking asked if he could have her body back after trial. He's like,
Can I
get that back?
Is it cool if I have that back?
Have you been taking care of her? You haven't let her skin fall off, have you?
I've got some extra stuff to patch up some of those areas at home if you guys...
Yeah, I have a whole patch kit. Ugh.
Tanzler himself moved to a place nearby where his wife lived because he's still married this whole time.
Right, and I think she was, like, not too upset over it.
She helped take care of him as he got older.
Dude, maybe that was just, like, your duty or something
back
in the day?
I don't know.
Because I'd be like, if that were my husband, I'd be like, yeah, later. Can I get a fucking divorce now?
100%. He published his autobiography in the magazine Fantastic Adventures, the September 1947 issue. It was entitled The Secret of Elena's Tome.
It's gross, too. I didn't read it, but I listened to a little bit of the audiobook on it until, like, Scarlett was just like, Mom, turn this off. Because in it, he's just... It wasn't even about any of the gross stuff, but it was about, like, when he first meets her and just how much love he had for her and that, you know, he wanted to send her away to some treatment thing, but her family was kind of like, no, they just don't understand how deadly it is and all the stuff he was doing. But he was recalling all these, like, events as if, like, she was his girlfriend, like, kind of interpreting,
right,
like, everything she does as a sign that she loves him. And it was just sick. It was just really fucking sick. Just like, oh, Elena smiled at me, like, and it totally means something that I'm sure it fucking did not at all. I can
right.
just imagine her awkwardness and uncomfortableness.
Oh, man.
With this creepy fucking guy, like, you're my density.
His body was found in his home 3 weeks after he died, which was on July 3rd, 1952.
Yep, and,
In his home was found a death mask of Elena that was used to create a life-sized version of her.
Yeah, he made his own Elena doll.
A death mask is a casting taken of a dead person's face. It is rumored that somehow he pulled a switcheroo and managed to hang on to Elena's real body, and that the death mask one is the one that's in the grave.
Hmm.
But I don't think that's the case because...
I don't think so.
How the hell would he do that?
Right, he didn't... It was put in an unmarked grave, and then...
It's not like he was some man of means or something
right.
that could just get that
just,
sort of thing. I mean...
He just did the next best thing. He took her death mask and made a giant life-size doll. And,
He had, like, an Elena body pillow.
Yep, exactly. I think he was found laying next to it.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible.
I'm pretty
it's
sure that that
kind of sad. I mean, the guy... He had a wife. He had a fucking family.
Yeah, and he just was such a fucking loser that he had to just take some case of, like, love that wasn't even, like, a two-way thing and just fucking go with it. Like,
fucking
so hard. I mean, like, just so extra. So extra. I mean, plenty of people.
A dead girl is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Plenty of people out there who have, not very healthy love interests and relationships.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes.
Usually when the person that you're fixated on dies, I mean, that's just...
That's it.
That's it.
But not with him.
But, oh my God, he just took it
much
further.
At least he didn't kill her.
That's true. It was the tuberculosis.
And, I mean, so there's that.
Yeah.
And he didn't, I mean, he
you know,
never...
it's pretty bad when that's, like, the one positive you can come
well,
up
never
with.
Assaulted
like, well,
her.
He didn't assault, you know, he didn't rape her or kill her, so.
So there's that.
Except he kind of like raped her dead body, but I mean.
Yeah,
she's dead.
But I mean.
But still, it's disgusting. Like.
If I was dead, when I die, I honestly don't give a shit what happens to my body.
Well, hopefully you're just dead and you don't know what the fuck happens
well,
to your
that's
body.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, I'm dead. I mean, who cares? It's just, it's the old vehicle.
Still,
whatever.
It's just like, it's just terrible.
It is. I mean, it really is. And it's terrible for the
It's terrible
the
for
family.
The family. Yeah. Like, I mean the, how would you feel if somebody pulled it? I mean, even if they don't care, how would you feel if somebody pulled a Carl Tanzler on
right.
one of your family members?
Exactly. Like, and so I may not care, but like my parents and sister may not, you know, want someone fucking my corpse.
Yeah. Like that might be a little bit upsetting, the thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not really what you should do.
No. When someone dies, you should just leave them be.
Yes.
Do not fuck their corpse.
Do not fuck their corpse. Well, I think that pretty much covers the strange, strange tale of Carl Tanzler.
Yeah, I think that's about all I can stomach talking about this guy. I mean, God. Necrophilia itself, I mean, the smell of death is just...
Even Ed Gein could fuck a corpse.
Oh, yeah. Well, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly, according to him, but looking at some other, like, cases of necrophilia, we could probably do, like, a whole fucking the dead series.
That sounds just lovely.
Doesn't it, though? But there, it was, like, this one chick. It was, like, unusual because there was, like, this chick who liked to fuck with dead men.
That is weird.
But she described being attracted, like, liking the smell of death.
Huh.
So, I guess, like, yeah, like, I mean, just, like, some people find other, like, really gross things hot. Maybe that's kind of the deal with necrophilia.
I wonder if it's an actual misfiring of something in your brain.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it
with
seems
masochism,
that way.
It's actually your brain interpreting pain as pleasure.
Right, because
and so
it's
maybe
not
it's
working the way it actually should. So maybe that, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
That specifically was meant, like she said when she got caught, that was like one of the reasons she did it.
Yeah.
Is she liked the smell of death.
Crazy.
Which most of us, like, knew.
No, you're like, ooh, what's that? That's, stay away from that.
Dude, a mouse dying in my vents, just the subtle
stinks.
Smell of some tiny rodent decomposing, and it's just like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
So gross. That was what the mystery stench was, by the way.
Oh!
A mouse died in the vent.
Yeah,
yep.
I see.
Yep, but to think that to somebody else, to be like, mmm.
Right? Yeah. Fucking weird.
Gross. All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you again, patrons. And enjoy the rest of 2019. We will be back in 2020. And we'll talk to you next time.
And stay strange.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode on that trash bag Carl Tanzler.
Yes. What a freak, huh? Right? Am I right? Yes, I'm right.
Yes, yes. So thank you very much for listening. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/strangerthanpodcast. You can also go to the podcast syndicate we're a part of, ageofradio.org, and take a look at all the, well, take a listen to all of the different podcasts out there, as well as our own, which is... which is ageofradio.org/strangerthan, where you can stream our episodes. You can also join our Facebook group, which is...
basically meaningless, and we do nothing, but you'll be part of the group, nonetheless.
Yeah, and so that's
an occasional meme is posted.
Very occasional.
Yes.
That would, and so that may be the type of group for you. That's the type of group for me, really.
I know, like sometimes, like, you know, it's like I don't want to be not in the group anymore because I don't want to actually, like, leave the group and have to rejoin the group. But sometimes certain groups, it's just like, okay, this is just like too much. But I also, it's not so much I want to leave, but I do wish they'd dial it back just a little bit. So
we're way dialed back.
Yeah, we are way dialed back in our group. So if you would like to maybe see a meme like once every 6 months.
The Strange, you know, Space. Just find,
yeah,
the Strange Space.
Space is the space for you.
Indeed.
Join up.
And with that, we'll talk to you next time.
And stay strange.